Today I want to talk about a song in the night. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, it says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Some of you probably already have that one memorized, see? You know more scriptures than you realize. The New Living Translation, we're going to focus on verse 18. It says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." So we're to give thanks, we're to be thankful. How many know we're supposed to be something, right? All right, be thankful. Be a thankful person. Be appreciative. In the Message Bible, verse 18 says, "Thank God no matter what happens." Listen to all those amens. Hallelujah. This is the word of God. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. So that's your testimony here today, folks. We're to give thanks no matter what happens. So these words, if you were to read them in the Greek, they are continuous action. They are progressive words that we are continually to do this. It is a command. It is not a request that Paul is asking. It's not just he's stating some facts or stating some things here, but he is saying this is what we need to do as believers in Jesus Christ. And so we need it evident within a church, as we will share a little bit maybe at the end if we have time. And it needs to be in the believer's individual life. And how many know it's for our own good that we are thankful people? It is for your benefit that we become thankful people. Instead of complaining and whining, we are to be thankful. And I believe this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, as the Bible says. How many know the will of God is not always easy, and it is not always easy to give thanks? As we read in verse 18 in the NIV, give thanks not for everything, but in all circumstances. So that's a mouthful for us here today, and some of us kind of choke on that sometimes, because some of us are kind of pessimists. Some of us kind of look to the negative side, but some of you are upbeat. You guys are positive people. Praise God for your personality. The rest of us have to work at it a little harder than you. So just bear with us, all right? And we even give you permission to speak into our life and say, hey, be positive. Speak the word of God, all right? Well, I'll give you that right to speak into my life, right? You hear me complaining, whining, griping? Correct me, all right? Not in public, but private. Hallelujah. So the giving of thanks is not optional or based on circumstances. We know that. There are no predetermined conditions for giving thanks. So decades ago, I had a job. We were working with Karen's grandparents, and we told you we lived in a place called the Dust Bowl there in Polvadera, New Mexico. And I had a side job. I went and picked up our local paper, printed twice a week, and my job was to go up and pick up the bundles and bring them back to our town because they were being printed somewhere else. And it was during the night, Friday nights. How many like to spend Friday nights from about 11 o'clock to about 4 in the morning driving around, dropping off papers? But that was my job. And on the radio station there, there was a Family Life radio station there in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And they would switch from their regular daily programming to a program called Songs in the Night. I don't know if they still do that or not, but back then it would go from about 9 o'clock and it would go throughout the night. And it was a ministry that ministered to people that were going through things. And so if you were to tune in, you would hear music, you would hear prayer, and a lot of scriptures that would be read during that time. And it was there to minister to people, no matter what you were going through, no matter what your situation was. And it was kind of a mellow. It was kind of, they would talk like this. You know, it wasn't no preaching. It wasn't shouting. You would never hear Third Day, who was big at the time on that station at that time. You would never hear Casting Crowns or DC Talk. You know, those weren't the songs that you would be tuned in to hear at that moment in time. And so you would tune in and just, well, it was the only radio station at the time, so that's what I listened to as I drove in the night. And the phrase song, the phrase song in the night finds its meaning in Job 35:10. How many know that Job had some issues? Job had some things that happened to him that were very life-changing. And so the Lord gave him a song in the night. But it's also found in Psalm 77, verse 6. The psalmist, Asaph, he is lamenting about what's going on in his life. And how many ever lament, right? Mourn, cry, whine, whatever you want to call it, right? And he too says that God had given him a song in the night. So these are the God-given songs that we sing in the most difficult times of our life. Most of us do not sing. Most of us say a lot of other things that we shouldn't be saying. But they were given a song in the night to help them. And so we're going to look at somebody else who also had a song in the night, and his name was Jonah. How many know he took a vacation? He got on the line and said, hey, I want an Airbnb. I want to go. You have a big fish? I'd like to stay there. You can go out. I want to stay in a big potato, right? You can go somewhere and stay in a treehouse. I mean, there are all kind of places you can stay. So Jonah chose a big fish, all right? And so we're going to look at that scripture here in a minute. Jonah learned a lesson. He learned to give thanks in a very difficult situation. And it says that Jonah prayed, but commentaries say it was actually a psalm, similar to those that are found in the book of Psalms. And so this was a lesson that he went through, that how many know that we can learn from somebody else's lessons without having to go through it ourselves? And so this is one of those lessons that we can learn from Jonah, that, hey, we don't have to get swallowed by a whale or a fish, right, to turn to God and get our eyes on the heavens instead of on ourselves and our circumstances. So to thank God no matter what happens is where we want to be. We want to give thanks in all circumstances, right? So we're going to look at Jonah chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 1. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. This guy is a slow learner. If I got swallowed by a fish, it would only take me a minute or two to say, hey, Lord, help me. I want out of this place. But we see that he spent 3 days and three nights. He was that stubborn. I know there's nobody in here that's stubborn. But 3 days and three nights he spent in the stomach of a fish before he began to say, hey, God, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't like where I'm at the moment. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and all your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. I'd rather see it from outside the fish than inside the fish. Verse 5. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains, to the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up, you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pray, I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Verse 10, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah on the dry land. Isn't the dry land a sweet place to be? Hallelujah. So Jonah found himself in a predicament of his own making, all right? And some of the things that we find ourselves in are not of our own making. My sister-in-law did not ask for all those deaths to come into her family. We expect it, but not all in a short period of time. So there are these situations that sometimes we make choices, and guess what? We pay the price for our decisions. We find ourselves in a dark place, but sometimes things happen and we have no power over, but yet we find ourselves in that dark place. Either way, we can learn three lessons from the song or psalm of Jonah. So are you ready? Here we go. Lesson number one, God leads us into dark places to expose our idols. Ouch. Ouch, that hurts. Who serves idols? Move on. All right, verse 8. But verse 8 says, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. So if we're going to follow idols, guess what? We are going to what? We're going to have a knife to our throat. We're going to cut our own throat someday. It's not a place we want to be. So the word idol here can be translated vapors of emptiness. And I want to tell you today, if there are idols in your life, if you're serving something in a greater capacity than you are Jesus Christ, then you are going to suffer in this area. It's going to lead to emptiness. And you're going to say, this Christian thing does not work. I've had people walk up to me and say, I tried it. It didn't work for me. Folks, if we're going to walk that way, if we're going to have idols in our life, it's going to be shaky ground. And so we need to be very careful. And so we need to think about it here. We think of an idol as a statue. How many know it's much more than that? It can be anything. And so Jonah rendered his desires and will above the call of God. So every time that we choose to do something our way rather than God's way, guess what? It is an idol. We are committing idolatry. Because what we are doing is we are putting ourselves on the throne. We are saying, God, you sit there, I'm here. It's a very dangerous place, and that's what Jonah did. He was told to go, what? East, and what did he do? He got in a boat and went west. And how many know, if you're familiar with a map, that you cannot get to Nineveh by boat? It's impossible, unless it's on a trailer. All right? There is no other way to get there. And so anything that we put before the call of God and the will of God becomes an idol for us. And as I said, an idol can be anything. It is in those dark places that we discover how much we value particular things or idolize particular things. The Bible says we are to love the Lord God with all of our strength. All right. We are to do that. And if something replaces that all, guess what? We have an idol in our lives. So what we do is we discover at times in our life how much God really matters to us. And so there are plenty of opportunities to have idols in our life. We know that Satan uses what? He uses temptations and situations. And why does he do that? To trip us up. But how many know that God also uses temptation? Ooh. God uses temptation, and we know that the Bible says he tempts no one, but he does use those situations to reveal or expose what's inside of us. And so this was a moment that Jonah took 3 days and 3 nights to kind of figure out that there was something wrong in him. I hope it don't take that long for you. Okay. How does God use temptation? Let's look at the life of Jesus in Matthew 4:1. What's it say? Then Jesus was what? Led by who? The Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted or tested, right, by the devil. Wow. How many know that God loves us? And how many know Hebrews 12 says that he does something to us so that we stay on track? What's he do? He disciplines us because he loves us, right? And so he will use dark situations to kind of wake us up a little bit, to refocus our vision. So dark places are not desired, but guess what? They are needed for revelation. Jesus was found faithful. He went into the wilderness. He was tempted by the devil. He came out. And we see that he had the victory, that he was grounded in his Father. He was solid. But we also see in the life of Jonah, he was found wanting. There were some things in his life that weren't right. We see it in the story of Job, right? Satan comes and God says, have you considered my servant Job? I don't want to be there. Have you considered my servant Job? We see in the New Testament where Jesus talks to Peter and says, hey, the devil has asked permission to sift you. He wants to try you out. He wants to tempt you. Wasn't it a time of revelation for Peter? The guy who said, I'll die for you. I don't know about the rest of these guys. That's what he said. I don't know about these other clowns, but I'm going to die for you. And Jesus said, I don't think so. I don't think so. And he received a great revelation. And would it come by? A rooster. Right? He said, when you hear it, that rooster, you knew you blew it. Hallelujah. Cock-a-doodle-doo here this morning. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. So if we're going to follow idols, folks, we are not going to receive God's best. We are not going to receive his grace. We're not going to receive his mercy. What we're doing is we're tying God's hands. We're restricting God's grace in our life. So let me instruct you as John wrote. He said, we are to walk in the light as he is in the light, right? And how many want to go to dark places to figure out what God wants for us or to figure out what's inside of us? But how many know that light exposes things? So let's walk in the light. See, God leads us into dark places to expose our idols. So why not, as we're walking with him, just open the door and say, Lord, check me out. What areas of my life am I not pleasing you in? Instead of going down to the depths and him having to come into the darkness to give you a song in the night to make it through. Hallelujah. I'd rather sing in the light in the church. I'd rather turn on the radio and sing along with the radio going down the highway. Don't take me to the dark places. Most of you have been in dark places. It's not a place you want to hang out. It's not a place you want to stay. So, God leads us into dark places to expose those things in our life that shouldn't be there, our idols. Secondly, it is in the darkness that we realize how good the light is. How often are we in a good situation, we make a decision, and then we wonder, why did I do that? Jonah was running from God. Jonah found himself in a storm on the high seas. We see that Jonah was thrown overboard by his own admission of guilt. Remember, they woke him up and said, pray to your God. And he said, well, I don't have to pray because I know I'm the problem. And it was him that said, if you throw me over the side of the boat, you'll be saved. Instead, they threw their cargo, they threw all their stuff that they needed for the boat, the riggings. And then finally they said, there's nothing else we can throw overboard but you. So they threw him overboard. So Jonah was thrown into the water and he's flailing around. I know some of you are fishermen. You like to fish. I don't know if you've ever fished with a popper. They're kind of fun. They float on the top of the water. And as you're reeling it in, it goes like this. And what's really exciting is when you're doing that, all of a sudden a fish will, I mean, you never know when they expect it. You just do it with the hopes of the fish getting your popper. But that was kind of what was happening here. Old Jonah's out there going like this. And the fish is going, it looks good. And he went after Jonah. So Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. And how many know that I imagine inside there was no night lights, no street lights, no any kind of lights, no clock lights, just complete darkness. We see he was surrounded by the waters. It says, even to my soul. It literally means up to his neck. I didn't really think about him being in water. I don't know how many of you go swimming for a while. What do? You start wrinkling up. But he's sitting in there for 3 days, up to his neck in water. The weeds are wrapped around his head. I mean, you ever been to the ocean and there's seaweed grabs? It's like, what a freaky feeling, right? How many have ever been in the dark and something touches you? You bump against something, makes you go out of your skin. So he's in the dark and these weeds are wrapping around him. He's feeling abandoned by God. He said, I'm in prison. He said, I'm in the belly of Sheol, which is the grave. One of my mom's greatest fears is, she's kind of a claustrophobic, is that she fears death because that casket lid's going to close down on her. She knows where she's going, but it's just that idea of that casket closing down. And so this is where Jonah is. The casket lid is being closed, and he is in perfect darkness. Then it says, Jonah's soul fainted within him. And when Jonah came to himself, how many know there's a story in the Bible, in the New Testament, of an individual who ran, spent his father's goods, and then what he did, got tired of eating the pig slop, and it says he came to his senses. As I said earlier, I can't imagine spending 3 days to come to my senses in this situation. 3 days, 3 nights, it took him to get to that place. And it says, Jonah remembered the Lord. He remembered the temple of God. He remembered what it was like to be in the presence of God. Whew. Hallelujah. How dark and desperate does our situation need to become, folks, before we remember the love, the goodness, and the faithfulness of God? It's unlikely we're going to get swallowed by a big fish, no doubt. But I want to tell you the circumstances, situations we may encounter may feel just like Jonah did at that time. So let me encourage you here today, walk in the light. Get in his word. Get in the prayer closet. Open up yourself to him. So it is in the darkness that we realize how good the light is. And some of us, at times in our life, we have walked away from the Lord. We've been doing pretty good, then we kind of get in our own way, we do our own thing, and then we realize and we look back and see how far away we've drifted. The undertow kind of takes us away from the Lord. Folks, don't wait till that time. Walk in the light. Lesson number 3, it is in the dark places we learn to be thankful and praise God. So when we read in verse 7, it said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Verse 8. I will give to you the sacrifices of praise with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Our worship, our praise, our thanksgiving begins when there is no answer in sight. When there is no light except what? A little spark in our memory that says, hey, dummy, remember? Remember? That's why the word of God is so important. The Bible says what his word is not sent out in vain, but what it's to do, it accomplishes what it was sent out for. The Holy Spirit uses God's word to remind us of everything that Jesus told us. Our worship, our praise, and thanksgiving begins when there is no answer in sight. As Mufasa told Simba, remember. Remember that? Remember. When he's at the pool looking at his reflection. Right? It's good to remember. I'm glad you like that. All right. We have a New Testament story, and we're closing down here. There's another couple individuals who found themselves in a very dark place, and their names are Paul and Silas. They had no reason to be thankful. They had no reason to be praising God. They had been beaten and jailed for freeing a woman from demon possession. They were put into the inner prison and they were put in stocks. They were in great darkness. But Acts 16, verse 25 and 26 says this, about midnight. Gives us a song in the night, right? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing songs of what? Thanks to God. We don't give thanks for our situations, but we give thanks to God in all situations. I don't think I'd be very thankful for being beaten, thrown in the inner prison, and sitting in stocks. I wouldn't be too thankful. But yet they realized that God was with them. They sang their song in the night. And what the good news is, the other men in prison were listening to them. That's what that scripture says. All at once, the earth started to shake, the stones under the prison shook, and the doors opened, and the chains fell off of Paul and Silas. Is that what it says? Fell off of everyone. Woo! I'm going to tell you, the power of praise, the power of thanksgiving, not only sets you free, but it sets people around you free. That is why your testimony is so powerful. You need to know the word of God. You need to know and be able to testify of what God has done in your life. What? Because there are people waiting to hear your story. They need the chains broken off their lives. And you have that power today. After Jonah sang his song in the night, the people of the city of Nineveh repented and experienced God's salvation. Woo. Just like Paul and Silas. After Jonah sang his song in the night, God set people free. So the giving of thanks is always easy when everything is going well, if we don't forget. Right? How many times do we forget when things are going well to look upward and give praise for the one who is making it go well? It is when we find ourselves in the darkness that we must allow God to give us a song in the night. So where you're at this morning and what you're going through, God wants to give you a song in the night. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, for his anger lasts only a short time, or his discipline only lasts for a short time, but his favor is for a lifetime. Crying may last for a night, okay? Gives us a song in a night, but joy comes with the new day. That is the good news that we have here today. So let's not underestimate Paul's commandment in 1 Thessalonians 5, because it is his testimony. He is sharing what he had done in his own life through all the experiences he did, that we are to what? Give thanks in all circumstances. We are to have a spirit that continually rejoices. We are to be people of prayer that never ceases. And we are to be a people of thanksgiving. Give thanks in all circumstances. Be thankful in all circumstances. And thank God no matter what happens. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. So let's just summarize. It is in the dark places that we discover our idols. We may discover we're not as close to God as we should be. It is in the dark places that we remember how good it is to live in the light. It is, folks. It is good. It is in the dark places that we learn to praise and be thankful. It is in the dark places that God gives us a song in the night, a song that brings joy for the new day.